Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5:08 on a Sunday here at CCO. We call it Sports Sunday, 60 minutes at 6. Gerilyn Steele tonight here on CCO. A little bit earlier, we talked a little Twins baseball with Phil Miller from the Star Tribune. And we should tell you the Twins Hot Stove Show comes your way each and every Wednesday evening with Chris Atterbury. We go behind the scenes, keep you up to date on the latest off-season moves. Chris Atterbury with the Twins Hot Stove Show, Wednesday nights at 6, right here on the home of the Twins, News Talk 830 WCCO. And, of course, for the radio home of the Timberwolves. And we'll get into Wolves Week in review in a moment. But first, an update on the NFL scores. The season winding down quickly. 4 to go this week. And how about this? Midway through the third, San Francisco leading Denver 20-0. The Broncos are 6-6 and need a win to keep pace and stay in the mix in the AFC playoff race. The Chargers lead the Bengals 20-12 in L.A. late third quarter. Early in the third in the desert, Detroit leading Arizona 3-0. Lions 4-8, Cards 3-9. In the third, Dallas in that outstanding defense leading Philly 9-0. Still a long way to go, 9-1 to go in the third. Eagles win, they tie for the division lead. Cowboys win, they go up two games with three to play in the NFC East. And finally, among the late games in the third, Pittsburgh leading at Oakland 14-10. Now the finals. It was the New York Giants beating Washington 40-16. Washington falls to 6-7. That helps the Vikes. New Orleans wins at Tampa Bay 28-14. Saints 11-2. The great Drew Brees, 201 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. He hasn't been as good as of late, but the Saints get it done. Green Bay beat Atlanta 34-20. Aaron Rodgers, 196 yards and two touchdowns. Joe Philbin a win as interim head coach. Cleveland does Minnesota a favor. The Browns beat Carolina 26-20. The Browns 5-7-1. Carolina is 6-7. The Jets beat the Bills in Buffalo 27-23. Indianapolis beat Houston 24-21. Texans' 9-game winning streak is over. Colts stay alive. They move to 7-6. Meanwhile, Kansas City beat Baltimore 27-24 in overtime. Kansas City 11-2. They are now looking good for home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. The Ravens right now are still clinging to the final wild card at 7-6. Miami stayed alive, beating New England 34-33. Dolphins, a miracle play at the end of the game to win it. Rob Gronkowski had a chance to make a tackle, but he stumbled, opening the door to the end zone. Miami wins at 34-33. By the way, Miami comes here next Sunday at noon to play the Vikes. Sunday night game, a dandy. Rams and Bears from Chicago. L.A. favored by 3. And on Monday night, Vikes Seahawks from Seattle. Seattle favored by 3. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll talk more about that matchup with Eric Nelson, who will be in the Emerald City. Thursday night, Tennessee stayed alive in the AFC, beating Jacksonville 30-9. Titans now 7-6. You're up to date on the NFL scoreboard. We'll have another check following the weather at 5:30 here on CCO. Let's jump into Timberwolves Week in review and this new-look Timberwolves team. They've been playing really well. And by the way, John Folkey visits with rookie Josh Okogie a little bit later on. John Thomas will join us from the Timberwolves front office talking about Timberwolves camps and more. But first, let's get into the highlights this week. Houston came to town on Monday night, and it didn't look good early.
Harden with it on the right side, off the Capella screen, top of the key, down the lane, runs it up with the left hand. What a soft touch as he floats it in from 6 feet out on the dead run. 43-31, Rockets are threatening to run away with this thing.
And they were. And then Andrew Wiggins hit a big three at the buzzer to send the Timberwolves into the locker room on a high note.
And the shot clock expires. Here's Wiggins firing up at the buzzer and bangs it in! From 30 feet out, he had to hesitate because the shot clock went off. Still somehow fired away at the horn and beat the buzzer.
So the Timberwolves go into the locker room with a lift. You could tell everyone was really happy for Andrew Wiggins to hit that shot. Well, then the Wolves took over in quarters 3 and 4.
Teague with pace and purpose lowers the shoulder into the paint, gets airborne and kicks to Wiggins. His pass up top deflected to Šarić. Dario tracks it down, dribbles into a three, it hits! Dario Šarić! That's his third three of the night. Wolves lead 85-80.
And it just kept going.
And another Rockets turnover. Here's Derrick Rose back the other way. Dribbling up to the left angle three. Back to the right side. Teague to tie the game. Buries it!
There it is.
A 24-10 run. Target Center is alive. Back-to-back threes by Jeff Teague.
And you heard J.R. Ryder with Alan Horton. He was the good luck charm for the Timberwolves as they got on that furious comeback. How about Tyus Jones? He got involved.
Between the legs. Harden trying to create some space. There's nothing there. 9 on the shot clock. Now he gets a step and runs right into Tyus Jones, who picks his pocket. Tyus off to the races to the rim. Layup, yes! 91-82. The Timberwolves lead by 9.
And here's Alan with the final call on a fun Monday night.
The horn will sound here at Target Center, and the Wolves have capped a 19-point comeback. Late in the second quarter, they trailed by 19. They go on to the 12-point victory here tonight. It's their largest comeback in two seasons.
Down by 19, 14 points at the half, and the Timberwolves held the Rockets to just 29 points in the second half. Karl Anthony Towns led the way with 24 points and 11 rebounds. Andrew Wiggins had 16. Now, James Harden on the flip side had 29. Many of those early. Clint Capella added 24, but Houston went cold at the third and fourth quarter mark, scoring just 9 points in the fourth quarter. Timberwolves, win of the year, beat Houston on Monday, 103-91, and I was on following the game, sitting in for Al Malmberg, and the phones lit up. Timberwolves fans were happy as they moved to 12-12. They'd go a game over 500 with a win on Wednesday night. Charlotte, final game of the homestand. Karl Anthony Towns, 35 points. Andrew Wiggins added a season-high 26, and the Timberwolves pull away late and beat the Hornets 121-104 on Wednesday night.
Now Covington on the right side calls for the Gibson screen, doesn't use it, steps through into the paint, out to Wiggins, who moves it to the corner, and Towns, and he'll bury the corner three. Karl Anthony Towns hasn't had a whole lot of opportunities from the corners this year. He's now 4 of 10 on his corner threes.
Derrick Rose was key coming off the bench to score 16.
Andrew crosses midcourt on the right side of the floor. Picked up by Batum. Cross court. Rose open in the corner. Pump fakes the three. Drives the baseline. Hangs. Double clutches and lays it in for two. It is a 16-5 Timberwolves run. They're now within 4 with a minute 20 left to go in the first half.
Jeff Teague didn't score much, but still came up big for the Wolves.
8-2 Timberwolves run. They lead by 2. And Teague steps in the passing lane, knocks it away from Zeller, attacks down the lane to the rim, and lays it in for 2. First field goal of the game for Jeff Teague. It's given the Wolves this 4-point lead here early in the third quarter.
So he scores only 3. He had 18 assists in the win. That's really good. How about Rob Covington? He has been so big since coming over from the 76ers.
Teague on the right side of the floor, up top to Towns. It takes the dribble to the top of the key, bottled up, handoff Covington. He'll rise up. 16-footer is good. Rob Covington has put the Wolves up 110-98. 17-2 run. 9 from Cat, 8 from Cove. Wolves starting to take control with 4:05 left.
Covington, 17 points, 6 rebounds. Wolves go a game above 500, 13-12 with that convincing 121-104 victory over the Charlotte Hornets. They hit the road Saturday night. They played in Portland against a solid Blazers team. Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum each hit three-pointers in the final minute, and the Blazers pull away for a 113-105 victory over the Timberwolves. And the Blazers got off to a hot start in this one.
Derrick Rose gets his shot blocked back the other way, and Aminu cashes in at the other end as he drives and flushes with the right hand. 15-10 right now for Portland. That is a 8-0 Blazers run. They've got a lot of momentum. The crowd's involved, and Tom Thibodeau needs to slow things down and call a timeout.
But it didn't take long for the Timberwolves to get back in the game.
Back to Dario wing right. He puts on the deck against Zach Collins, feeds it inside to Towns. Quick turn, jump hook, drops in, and the Timberwolves have taken a one-point lead. 80-79 with 1:23 left to go in the third. Towns now with 14 points on 5-10 shooting.
Josh Okogie made a shot late in the game, Alan Horton describes.
Now Okogie with it, 8 to shoot. A couple of pump fakes by Josh. Now he lobs it up towards the bucket. It goes off the glass. Josh comes down with it, lays it in for 2. What a wild sequence that was. After a couple of pump fakes, Okogie making something out of nothing. It's almost like a slam dunk competition where you lob it off the backboard to yourself. 95-94, the crowd is flummoxed.
Blazers go on to win at 113-105, and the Wolves back to 500 at 13-13. The road trip continues for the Timberwolves at Golden State on Monday night. Our pregame at 9 with John Folkey, Alan Horton with the play-by-play at 9:40. Wolves and Warriors. Then Wednesday at Sacramento, will be on the air at 8:30 with the tip at 9:10. And the trip ends in Phoenix on Saturday night with our pregame show beginning at 7:30 and the tip at 8:10. Here on the radio, home of the Wolves. Each and every week, John Folkey joins us with his feature interview, and he sits down with rookie and fan favorite Josh Okogie.
Well, Josh, about 2 months into your rookie season, I feel like you've kind of seen everything from DMPs to starting to guarding LeBron. How have you sort of made the adjustment here to an NBA player, that NBA lifestyle, and kind of being ready for whatever happens?
I think the biggest key is preparation, no matter, you know, where you might be on a depth chart, no matter, you know, where, how many minutes you're going to play. I think it's important to form a routine and, you know, get in the same routine every day. So if you don't play, you know, that's cool. But if you do play, you're always ready. And you don't never got to guess, you know, am I going to play today or, you know, how many minutes, who am I going to guard? So having that routine and just staying in shape and doing a lot of things on my own to make sure that, you know, I'm in shape because, you know, it's hard to, you know, be in shape when you're not playing. So it's very important that, you know, you're doing a lot of conditioning off the court and, you know, out of practice time. So coming in on your own, get a lot of lifting a lot of weights, and just like I said, just being prepared.
Coach talked about using film time, using individual time, skill workouts, those types of things, especially when you're in a stretch with a lot of games and not a whole lot of practice time. How have you tried to use those kind of peripheral practice times to improve your game?
Yeah, I think it's big. I think what you do, you know, outside of practice, what separates you from your competition, because everybody's going to practice. Watching film on your own, you know, getting a lot of recovery on treatment on your own, and, you know, working out on your own, I think those are, you know, really imperative to, you know, becoming a whole basketball player.
You know, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and you said one of the biggest adjustments to the NBA life was doing less. Can you maybe explain that a little bit and why doing less is an adjustment for someone like you?
Yeah, it's, you know, in college you're playing about one, maybe two, three at the most games a week. You know, in NBA you might have a back-to-back day off and then another game. So it's kind of like, you know, the more you do, it kind of has a kind of negative effect on, you know, performance. So finding that kind of balance between rest and working and working out, you know, I think that's really key to, you know, making sure your body's always ready to compete.
You talk about finding a routine, and it's not just a game day routine. It's a practice routine, but away from the court, it's a routine as well. A lot more time now as a professional player versus college. How important is routine, not just in getting ready for games?
Oh, routine is important just so you know what you're getting out of yourself. If you do the same thing every day, you know, you get the same amount of sleep, same amount of rest, same amount of food that you're putting into your body at the same time, you know, psychologically your body just thinks that, okay, I'm ready to play because, you know, I do this. But if you're doing different things every day, a different thing every game day, then your body might react to react to it different. So having a routine, like on game days, maybe whether it's, you know, taking a nap, getting something to eat, or just reading a book, or just doing something so your body knows, you know, where it's kind of at within the day.
Road trips a little different in the NBA than they are at the college level, because you could be out there for a week. You could be out there for 10 days. When we talked to Kate a couple of weeks ago, he said he was the lightest packer on the team, and he just knew how to take care of business in terms of getting ready for a road trip. How do you pack for a road trip? You got a big West Coast one coming up soon.
It's hard. You don't know if you're going to go out. You don't know, you know, if you want to dress up for the games, because I kind of like to dress up for the games. So I got to pick out outfits, what game I'm gonna wear, what outfit to. So I mean, I'm a heavy packer in that sense. But it's still, you know, you still got to take care of business. Still got to form that routine on the road. But I think the best thing about being on a road trip is, you know, having that day off where you can kind of explore the city a little bit, get to know about all these different, you know, NBA cities. So, you know, kind of pack for that too. So yeah, it's kind of fun.
And we saw a video recently of you going shoe shopping on one of the road trips. What was that like?
That was great. It was great. I like shoes. You know, I like to get shoes. And, you know, they just kind of had an idea to kind of just do a little shoe shopping and kind of talk about my love for shoes and, you know, which ones I like, which ones I don't like. So it was fun.
All right. How about here in the Twin Cities? I know you guys haven't spent a whole lot of time in the city so far through the first 2 months, but have you been able to experience anything maybe uniquely Minnesotan or uniquely Twin Cities?
I think there's a lot of lakes everywhere. Over the summer, I got to run around Lake Calhoun, and, you know, it was a beautiful lake, and it's really nice here over the summer, and now things getting a little chilly. I'm still surprised because a lot of other places you look at, you know, when things get too cold, it looks kind of dull. But this city, you know, when things get cold, it still kind of looks nice around. I don't know how it is when it really starts snowing, but, you know, we'll see when that happens.
It looks beautiful when the snow comes and everything else. Josh, thanks so much for your time. Good luck the rest of the way here, your rookie season.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Josh Okogie with John Foki, our feature interview here on Wolves Week in Review. John Thomas will join us from the Timberwolves front office, camps, and more in a moment here on the CCO. 5:26 here at CCO. It is Timberwolves Week in Review. Wolves at 500 as they continue to trip Golden State on Monday night. Our pregame with John Foki at 9, tip 9:40 with Alan Horton here on the home of the Wolves. Pleased to be joined by John Thomas from the Timberwolves front office. John, good to visit with you.
How are you doing? Excellent.
Yeah, good to visit with you. This Wolves team, they're a lot of fun. Even though they got beat in Portland on Saturday night, that was a fun ball game.
Yeah, it really was a fun ball game. I think the missing ingredient that you saw with Covington being out, anytime you lose a significant piece like that, it creates a challenge. Nonetheless, you know, they hung in there and it was close. We certainly had our chances, but at the end of the day, Portland came away with the win.
Yeah, and when you have guys like Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum to hit big shots down the stretch, and the Wolves still had opportunities, their shots didn't go in, but still, good ball game, good performance on the road for the Timberwolves, and for them to get from where they were pre-trade to now playing 500 basketball and playing a very entertaining game, it's been really enjoyable, John.
Yeah, you know, it's all about their spirit. You know, the things that I've really noticed, and I made mention of this, was that, you know, the team is smiling and, you know, the bench is on fire. You know, they've got a collective effort on team defense, now, and then individually they're taking it personally and trying to get stops. At the end of the day, you know, the shots, they fall and sometimes they won't. But the effort and your attitude and your energy, certainly is a positive. And I think the fans have taken notice, and it's a lot of fun to watch them play.
John, the holidays are coming up quick. Christmas just around the corner. It's amazing. I better get busy. I got a lot of shopping to do in the next couple of weeks. but I know one of the reasons you're joining us is to talk about holiday. Is some of that stuff available for the young people?
It is, 100%. So we've got from December 27th through the 31st, we've got 10 locations that we're administering our Timberwolves Basketball Academy holiday clinics. They were really the emphasis, and as we start to grow that area, the emphasis really is on the in-house demographic as well as the travel. You know, really making sure that we pay special attention to the needs of our customer. I think it's really important that, you know, the youth are taken care of, and we provide the right opportunity for them to not only learn the game of basketball, but learn it the right way, and also doing it in the fun spirit. So pretty special. We've also got Rebecca Brunson, who was here in Market. She'll be out of those, one of those 10 clinics on the 29th. She'll be at Maple Grove. So it was an all-girls clinic. We're really featuring our directors this year and making sure that we get them involved. I'm actually here at Mayo Clinic Square now, and I took this break. We're really getting them aligned with how we want to operate and ultimately what type of message we're sending. So it should be a good time.
John Thomas joining us from the Timberwolves front office. And John, I know a lot of work is being done behind the scenes to rework that Timberwolves and Lynx Basketball Academy moving forward. And I know it's been an important part of the community, and certainly teaching boys and girls the right way to play the game.
Yeah, it's, I think what you're seeing, what's happened with youth basketball, I always say the ceiling continues to lower. And whether you're inside of any type of community basketball, due to the popularity of the game, anyone can train and anyone can coach, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're overly qualified to do so. So from our standpoint, and because the NBA is taking such a strong stance, not only with the development of their G League, but they're also asking every team within their own specific academies and their youth basketball initiatives to really start taking a hard look at how do they grow it the right way. So they're providing a lot of tools and resources for us, as well as our own ability to create content bringing current players, our coaching staff, our former players, being able to involve coaches outside of the community. It's really important that we understand and really can deliver against, to our players, parents, and coaches, because there's a lot that's, to be uncovered. And I think from our perspective, we just continue to work on, setting and spreading the right message.
And, John, do people find out more by just going to the site, TimberwolvesBasketballAcademy.com? That's got all the info on folks need to get their young people involved.
You got it, TimberwolvesBasketballAcademy.com. Yep, so we're, like I said, for the holiday, that's our attempt at really changing the landscape and providing an opportunity for kids to get in with in-house and with travel type of skills. So you'll see a noticeable difference in how we're teaching. And then as we move forward into 2019 and beyond, just a lot of fun things coming for the Academy, and we look forward to making some key announcements soon.
Yeah, and John, by all means, get in touch, and we'll talk about it on the air if your schedule allows. And the good thing is, with these holiday camps, they're spread all over the Twin Cities metro area, so there's certainly a camp near you.
Yes, absolutely. 10 locations.
All right. John, good to visit with you. Thanks for the update. And as you have further announcements, certainly keep us up to date.
Much appreciated. Thank you. Go right. Wolves, go Lynx.
All right. There he is, John Thomas from the Timberwolves and Lynx front office, joining us to visit about holiday camps. Once again, TimberwolvesBasketballAcademy.com is the website. Egan, Edina, Orono, there's Lakeville, there's Rogers, there's an Irondale clinic up in the New Brighton area, Rebecca Brunson Girls Only Holiday Clinic in Maple Grove. There's a clinic in Plymouth at Wayzata High School, just to give you an idea. So by all means, check that out. Once again, Wolves at 500. They got beat by Portland on Saturday night, but still a good week. They went 2-1. They're at Golden State to take on the champs Monday night. Our coverage begins at 9:00 with John Fokey on the pregame show. Alan Horton, the superb Alan Horton, with the play-by-play at 9:40 here on the CCO. Five thirty-seven, 23 minutes now in front of 6 here at CCO. We're trying to track down Eric Nelson, who's in Seattle for tomorrow night's Seahawks-Viking game. It is a big one with major playoff implications. 4 weeks to go, including this week's games, and things really tightening up in the playoff picture around the NFL. Let's get you up to date on those late games. Denver finally on the board at San Francisco. Niners lead it 20-7 early in the fourth. Case Keenum, 116 yards. He's had to rush four times for 24 yards. Denver's struggling offensively, but there's still time to come back and get it done in the Bay Area. The L.A. Chargers lead Cincinnati 23-15 midway through the fourth. Through three, Detroit leading at Arizona 10-0. These teams are well out of it. Meanwhile, Philadelphia at Dallas. They finally get a touchdown. The Cowboys lead the Eagles now 9-6. Extra point pending. Wentz to Tate from 7 yards out. And the Eagles with a win would grab a tie in the NFC East. Cowboys win, they'd have a two-game lead with three to play. Pittsburgh leading in Oakland 14-10. Late third quarter there. The Steelers still in control of the AFC North. Baltimore got beat. More on that in a moment. Here are the finals from earlier. The New York Giants beat Washington 40-16. That is good news for the Vikes, because Washington falls to 6-7. They've been struggling without Alex Smith. They are not the same football team. New Orleans wins in Tampa Bay 28-14. Saints claim the NFC South. Meanwhile, Green Bay beat Atlanta 34-20. Joe Philbin's first win as Packers interim coach. Aaron Rodgers, 196 yards and two touchdowns. The Pack 5-7-1. Not officially eliminated from playoff contention, but for all practical purposes, it'll be a tough hill to climb. Cleveland does the Vikes a favor. They beat Carolina 26-20 in Cleveland. The Browns 5-7-1. The Panthers fall to 6-7. Meanwhile, the New York Jets beat Buffalo 27-23. Those teams are well out of it. Indianapolis still alive. Beat Houston 24-21. Colts 7-6. Texans fall to 9-4. Their 9-game winning streak ends today. Kansas City beat Baltimore 27-24. The Chiefs now 11-2. And they're closing in on home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs without Kareem Hunt. He's looking for work. Miami beat New England 34-33. I'm not even going to try to explain the play, the final play of the game that gave the Dolphins a victory, and they stay alive in the playoff hunt. They're 7-6 and come to U.S. Bank Stadium to play the Vikes next Sunday at noon, the Sunday night game. I'm going to watch this one. Rams, Bears from Soldier Field. L.A. favored by 3, the over-under 51. The Bears could take a big step toward the division title with the victory, but if they lose, that would open the door for the Vikes. And, of course, Minnesota at Seattle. Seahawks favored by 3 in that one. Thursday, Tennessee stayed alive, beating Jacksonville 30-9. The Titans are 7-6. Let's jump over to the playoff picture right now in the NFL. Kansas City with the win today, they're the number one seed at 11-2. The number two seed, New England, for now at 9-4. Houston, the three seed, in spite of their loss today, they're 9-4. But that number two, number three looks to be in play. Meanwhile, the fourth seed, Pittsburgh, they're in Oakland leading. They're at 7-4-1. The five seed, the L.A. Chargers at 9-3. The Chargers are leading their game in L.A. at that little soccer stadium. Once again, they're closing in on a playoff bid as a wild card. And then Baltimore still holds the top wild card at 7-6, but still in the mix. Miami, Indianapolis, and Tennessee, and Denver trying to rally. They're 6-6 for the moment. If they lose, their playoff hopes would take a big hit today. Let's get over to the NFC and talk about what's going on there. Rams tonight in Chicago, they're 11-1. They would be the number one. The number two, the Saints, they're at 11-2. The number three at the moment, Chicago, they're 8-4. They host LA tonight. Dallas in progress playing Philly, they would be the four. The five, Seattle, they host Minnesota, who right now is the six at 6-5-1, but still in the mix. Philadelphia at 6-6. Washington got beat, they're 6-7. Carolina, they got beat, they're 6-7. Green Bay won, they're still alive. barely at 5-7-1. So there's still a lot of drama in the NFL playoffs. All right, Eric Nelson joins us from the Emerald City. He made his way to Seattle. Eric, were you on the same flight as Mike Max?
I was not. I did run into Channel 4 photographer Aaron Goodyear, though, on the flight. I believe Maxie came in on the later flight. I was on the 8 a.m. flight, Stevie T.
See, I thought maybe Maxie had a private jet take him to Seattle. You never know.
Well, he may have ridden with Harvey McKay. That's how Maxie rolls.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. You've been to CenturyLink. You've seen the Seattle Seahawks. This is a very unique venue in the NFL.
Yeah, it really is. It's clearly one of the loudest venues in the National Football League, and they have a passionate fan base called the 12s, and they really think they're part of the team. I mean, when they talk about being the 12th man, they believe it. They have a flag they fly with the number 12 on it, and they are going to be incredibly revved up tomorrow night because they know the stakes are high. I mean, they're higher than the Space Needle as far as this game goes with playoff repercussions and how it might play out. So if the Seahawks win, they'll be in very good shape to be the top wild card in the NFC. If the Vikings win, then they'll be the top wild card entering the final 3 weeks of the regular season and still keep their divisional hopes alive in the NFC North. So I expect an absolute buzzsaw tomorrow night at CenturyLink.
Yeah, and Seattle's really one of the surprise stories in the NFL, I think, going into this season. Anybody who observes this league thought, well, you know, Seattle, if everything goes right, they could be a playoff team. But you clearly had the L.A. Rams, the dominant team out west, and, you know, the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo were expected to do a lot more. He got hurt. They've been a train wreck this year, and it was expected to be a tough year for the Arizona Cardinals. Seattle was a bit of an unknown entity, if you will.
Yeah, I think the people out here in Seattle really thought it would be a rebuild and reload season. And you have to give Pete Carroll and the quarterback Russell Wilson a lot of credit for keeping this team in the playoff conversation, because they have been one of the top teams in the NFC the last 7 to 10 years. They've made a couple of Super Bowl appearances. They've won one. They lost that game to New England a few years ago that a lot of people felt like they were going to win, but they decided to throw the ball instead of give it to beast mode. And, you know, that's a sore subject still to this very day here in Seattle in the state of Washington, because they had a chance to win back-to-back Super Bowls. But even with that, you know, dagger defeat, the resume that Pete Carroll has built here in Seattle is impressive. He's one of the top coaches in the NFL. He finds a way to motivate his players, and they don't have that Legion of Boom defense that they had when they battered Denver in the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium. So they're not quite as dominant, but Bobby Wagner, the linebacker, has played outstanding. And they finally found a running back. Remember, when Marshawn Lynch left, I think that hurt Russell Wilson a lot. Now they have this youngster, Chris Carson. They're the top rushing team in the National Football League as far as yards per game. So they have been able to do this on the fly, and that's a credit to Pete Carroll and the Seahawks organization, which I think is one of the best organizations in the NFL. And they're playing with a heavy heart this season because they lost Paul Allen, their longtime owner and the Microsoft founder, who passed away recently.
Eric, let's talk about the purple. It has not been maybe the year Viking fans had hoped. A real mixed bag. You were in New England for the game with the Patriots. Not a good night for the Vikings against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Another tough test on the other coast against Seattle at CenturyLink. And for me, defensively, they've been pretty good. Offensively, though, it's been a real mixed bag. It starts with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it definitely. And, you know, here's a guy that's had problems this year holding on to the football. There have been some untimely interceptions. His numbers are pretty good. But in reality, Kirk Cousins has yet to deliver as far as winning a signature game. And that's what Viking fans are hoping for tomorrow night against the Seattle Seahawks, because there's so much at stake in this ball game. And you have to look at the offensive line. They have been average at best in the running game. The Vikings, as we all know, they have not committed to it, and it's really not a factor when you play the Minnesota Vikings. It'll be interesting to see how much they give Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray the football tomorrow night.
Eric Nelson joining us from Seattle. He'll be at CenturyLink tomorrow night for this big showdown. And Eric, things have played out pretty well for the Vikes today. In running down the scoreboard, you had a situation where Washington got beat. You had a situation where Carolina got beat in Cleveland today. The Panthers are struggling. Washington is struggling. So things have gone their way. And right now, Philly and Dallas are tied at 9. The Eagles hanging in there. I think in some ways it would help if the Cowboys would get the W and put the Eagles down to 6-7. And then, of course, you have Chicago hosting the LA Rams tonight. So there's still a lot going on right now in the NFC as far as the Vikings and their playoff hopes.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think you're right. I think if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you want to see Dallas win because somebody's got to win the NFC East, so you might as well have it be the Cowboys. If the Eagles somehow win this game, then you have a scrum in the NFC East, and you have one team that'll win the division. The other team will have its eyes on a wild card berth. Remember, the Eagles got to go to Los Angeles and play the Rams. I believe it's next week. Their schedule's very difficult, but things have fallen nicely for the Minnesota Vikings. Really, the same thing happened a week ago when Carolina lost in the early game, and the Chicago Bears did to the New York Giants, and the Vikings played the late game in New England, but they could not pounce on a golden opportunity. They may have the same situation tomorrow night at CenturyLink. They already know the Panthers have lost. Look, there's a good chance the Bears could lose to the Rams tonight. The Rams have the top record in the NFL. So, obviously, the Vikings really just need to focus on their game, control their own destiny, as they say, but they're getting some breaks, and they need to take advantage of these breaks.
Yeah, it broke their way a week ago, and they weren't able to take advantage. We'll see what happens on Monday night in Seattle. And then, hey, a Miami team that got a Miami miracle today to beat the New England Patriots. Dolphins right now, at this moment, sit in the seventh seed, but they're very much in the mix. So the idea that, you know, you got Miami coming to town, that's going to be an easy victory, I wouldn't go that far.
No, and that's an outstanding point. And the Dolphins have played some good football at times this season. They're certainly going to be fired up after knocking off New England on that, you know, that double hook and ladder play, just a bizarre ending down there in South Florida. And you know, Jonathan Lowe and I touched on it yesterday after you left, that Tom Brady historically has not played well in New Miami. You know, when they go down there and play the Dolphins, that's one of the spots that's almost been like kryptonite. So that played out again today. So that might be the one break the Vikings did not get, is now Miami has life. And you saw a lot of contenders losing the AFC today. So Miami's going to come north and say, hey, you know what? If we beat Minnesota, we have a shot. And one thing we know, the Dolphins coming to Minneapolis in December, knowing they're going to play in 70-degree dome-like temperatures, they're going to be thriving. They're not going to have to worry about the weather. So it's going to get interesting in the next few weeks. There's no doubt about it. And that's what the NFL is like in the final month. December is that dash for cash. And it's really when the posers and the contenders are separated. We're going to find out if the Vikings are pretender or contender here real soon.
Yeah, Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN are all thrilled that there's this much drama between now and the end of the season, who will fill out that 12-team tournament in the AFC and NFC and ultimately the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Eric, couple of thoughts about the Vikes. Banged up in the secondary. Any news on that? Because clearly this Viking defense is where Mike Zimmer spent a lot of time, and a guy like Xavier Rhodes is key.
Yeah, and you know, Xavier played last week in New England, and there was some concern about him being able to go against the Patriots. So I would expect to see Rhodes out there tomorrow night. I mean, you just don't want to miss a game like this with so much, you know, on the line for both football teams. Now, Trey Waynes, I believe, is going to be declared out, so they're going to miss him. That's cornerback depth they won't have. And again, against a guy like Russell Wilson, who can cause a lot of havoc for defenses because he's so mobile, he can throw on the run, there's always the threat he's going to tuck and go. You need all hands on deck against Russell Wilson. I mean, this guy, to me, is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. And, you know, the Vikings and Seahawks, DBT, haven't played since that epic game in January of 2016 at TCF Bank Stadium, third coldest in NFL history, when it was -6 and Blair Walsh went wide left. So these teams have had about a two-year reprieve of not going head-to-head, but it's all going to change tomorrow night.
All right, Ian, enjoy Seattle, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, and I should tell you, Stevie T, today in Seattle, rain. A lot of rain all day. They're saying it's going to, I know, there's a stunner. They're saying it's going to ease up for tomorrow night. But obviously, if it's going to be wet, ball security will be one of the top priorities.
And that's been a problem for Kirk Cousins at times.
Well, no question. And the Vikings offensive line is going to have to keep him upright. The pocket is going to have to stay clean because Cousins is he's not a scrambler. He's not very mobile. And he will cough it up if he gets pressured. And I think the Vikings, that's probably, to me, where this game will be won or lost, on how that offensive line does against the Seattle Seahawks. And then on the flip side, can the Minnesota Vikings make sure that Russell Wilson is not allowed to do his thing, and that's be creative and ad lib and, you know, turn into a modern-day Fran Tarkenton.
All right, we got to run, E. Thanks.
Thanks.
Eric Nelson from Seattle. He'll see the Vikes and the Seahawks. Quick break. We'll have the late game scores in a moment. I think I'm going to call the show tomorrow and talk to Paul and Jordan and say that $1.5 billion surplus could come my way. I like that idea. Send it to me. I'll take that money. Good news earlier today, Lindsey Whalen's team unbeaten. Minnesota wins at Boston College 77-69. They're home at the Barn on Wednesday night. Coppin State comes to town. Game time 7 o'clock. So very good start for Lindsey Whalen, her coaching career at the U. Meanwhile, the men back at it. They get North Florida at the Barn on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. We got the Wolves on the radio Monday night at Golden State, pregame 9, tip 9:40 with Alan Horton. Wilder off. They play Montreal on Tuesday, Florida on Thursday, Calgary on Saturday at home. No word on Mikko Koivu's injury. He injured his leg in Calgary. And apparently we'll get an update on Monday on Koivu's status going forward. Luke Cunnan was called up from Iowa. If you're wondering, let's get you up to date on the late games in the NFL. San Francisco leading Denver 20-7. Broncos need the victory, but they're down 20-7 with 6:15 to go in the game in Santa Clara. The LA Chargers cling to a 23-21 lead with under 2 to go in the game in LA. Meanwhile, Detroit leading Arizona 10-3 midway through the fourth in the desert. Dallas has gone ahead of Philadelphia 16-9 midway through the fourth. The Eagles had tied it at 9, but now the Cowboys back on top. If they win, they have a 2-game lead over the Eagles with 3 to play. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh clings to a 14-10 lead over Oakland early in the fourth quarter out there. The Steelers right now in command of the AFC North. So you've heard a lot of drama. A lot of playoff jockeying, and after the play tonight and tomorrow, they're just 3 to go in the NFL regular season. Big thanks to all our guests who appeared on the program today. Stephanie Johnson, Senior Manager of Community Relations for the Twins, joined us to talk about the holiday week of giving. A lot of great events this week. In the community and for the Minnesota Twins organization, Byron Buxton will be in town. Trevor Hildenberger, Joe Maurer, Justin Morneau will be out and about. Andy Greeter, who covers Golden Gopher Sports and Minnesota United FC, joined us earlier in the program. Steve Carney took us outdoors. Don't forget, live outdoors with Ron and Cheryl Monday night between 7 and 8. Golden Gopher women's hockey coach Brad Frost. Phil Miller covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. They've made some moves. The winter meetings get started in Vegas. Thought is, Twins might be quiet at the winter meetings. Mike Max from Seattle. John Folke with Josh Okogie, John Thomas from the Timberwolves on Wolves Week in Review, and of course, Eric Nelson previewing the Vikes and the Seahawks from rainy Seattle. Thanks to Jonathan Lowe and Shaletta Brundage, our studio producers today. I'm Steve Thompson, 60 Minutes, and then Geraldine Steele on a Sunday.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.